Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, February the 20th, 2022. Now, I had the honor to have Professor Joe on with me, but we're going to be bringing Professor James Spetzer in about 15 minutes into the show. And so we're going to talk about something Joe and I are both aware of, and it's the prophecies of Dimitri Duterman and Henry Gruver. And so, Joe, I'm going to let you lead it, and I'll kick in a few things that I'm aware of. People have told me about a meeting that was over there about towers, the landscape being towered, just before what is going to supposedly possibly happen. With that said, Joe, you pick it up from there.
All right. First, let's get a little bit of a background on Dimitri. There was a gentleman that was a friend of Stu's. That was a dispensationalist. And dispensationalism is, as we've on other broadcasts, know that it was a contrived type of prophecy beginning really developed by the Ignatius of Loyola. It was really called futurism. And it worked its way up through the decades, through the centuries, culminating itself in with a guy by the name of Schofield. His associates, Samuel Utemeyer, who was a big Zionist, sponsored his program, and out of that came what we call dispensationalism. Within dispensationalism is the prophecy of what is going to happen to Israel. Israel is the key to the dispensationalists. And Og and Magog are China and Russia. What is China and Russia going to do to little Israel? And so there were many commentaries on the prophecies found within dispensationalism. And one of them, of course, was the questioning brought about by Dimitri Duterman, who was himself.
That's in Deuteronomy, I think it is, or Ezekiel, one of the two.
Well,
they're mentioned Gog and Magog. Is that where it's at, I believe?
Gog and Magog is in Isaiah and in Revelation and one other place. But that was a contrivance. In other words, that's what, in their studies, they pulled out. In other words, anything to do with prophecy is going to have interpretations. It's how accurate the interpretations are. That's the key to anything of understanding about prophecies. How do you accurately interpret it? So Gog and Magog is China and Russia. China and Russia somehow invade Israel, then Israel then is destroyed at the last minute, then the Antichrist comes in, he comes into the temple, takes over the temple, and then Armageddon starts, and then that marks the return of Jesus Christ. That's essentially what dispensational ends in. Particularly in the book of Revelation. So the people at the Prophecy Club began interpreting this. And you got to remember, the money behind the Prophecy Club were Zionists. That's why Dimitri did what he did. Now, whether he's accurate or not, well, so far it hasn't turned out that way.
Now, he turned the Prophecy Club in 1995, and there were a lot of people going to these prophecy clubs, because I attended one in Las Vegas. They had a lot of people out there. But the Prophecy Club also saw one in another city, and it had about 1,000 people in it. And these are people, a lot of them were patriot Americans that believed in Christ. And they were out there in these meetings because they wanted to hear this stuff. And I was even scheduled, but got anthrax, and we'll talk about it later, but I never made the tour. Dimitri Duderman took my slot, which is very interesting, I thought. But go ahead and explain, Joe.
Well, that essentially is, in a nutshell, without getting deeply into dispensationalism.
But it was a preacher out of Topeka, Kansas. He had a church over in Topeka, Kansas. But he was out in Nebraska someplace. He drove down his church during the week. But anyway, or weekend, whatever it was. But that was the guy that was running the Prophecy Club. Go ahead, Joe.
So the point being here is you have to look behind what's their frame of reference. What is their motivation? In other words, where are they coming from?
Right.
And the bedrock of the Prophecy Club is dispensationalism. Dispensationalism is goes back all the way to Ignatius of Loyola. It was brought forth in the present time through Dr. Schofield, who was sponsored by Samuel Untermeyer. And Samuel Untermeyer was a very wealthy, connected Rothschild type that brought about what we call the Federal Reserve, which is another issue. So in other words, behind the Prophecy Club was dispensationalism, which means there was a lot of Zionist money, which is to legitimize the state of Israel. That's why it's there. That's why your Jimmy Swaggerts and all of those other gentlemen that were part of the TV evangelists, they were all basic Zionists, which is to, in other words, to bring about using the Bible to bring about the state of Israel.
And one of them was Pat Robertson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you a little story about Pat Boy. This comes from the Otis Johnson types. This guy took all this money for food for Africa, and he did one TV appearance with an airplane full of food, right? But they shot it at different angles, and they played him as different time over a month. Oh, see how much food related? He was taking the money, and he bought a diamond mine with Daddy Bush, invested in there. Now, I think it's the Bank of Scotland is where his money's parked, but he's worth $2.5 billion from the diamond mine, the last time I heard, years ago. Okay, because I had it on my website about the dirty pump. Go ahead, Joe.
So continuing on down the road, the entire issue was to bring about the legitimate state of Israel, which you get a lot of commentary on that. Why does it bring about? But in other words, it was not God's hand. It was man interpreting scripture. That's an important point. And so we know that the interpretation can be flawed. So when Dimitri would get in and do his prophecies, he could be in error of what he was saying because it's an interpretation of events. Do you follow that, Stu?
Yes, I got what I understand where you're going.
So in other words, it can be true or it could not be true. It all depends upon accuracy of the interpretation. Go ahead, Stu.
Now, prayer works, and it changes things, folks. You'd be surprised how many people probably prayed over this country and to keep from having this happen, a nuclear exchange between Russia and the United States. Now, excuse me. If there is such thing happen, here's basically, give me a rundown, Joe. You're better at this than I am, believe me. A rundown of the prophecy of Dimitri Duderman, and then give him a rundown of Henry Gruber's, a preacher out of and what he said. But here was the deal. It was a nuclear exchange between us. And if you looked at this morning's TV, Margaret Brenner, or CBS, or whatever the chicken channel I was looking at, a monarch. She did it about an hour and a half to 2 hour special. I heard it for about an hour and a half. I shut it off. It's nothing but propaganda. Even the Russian ambassador came on, folks, and to the United States. And he says, no, we're not going to invade. No, your press is putting that out or something like that. Well, anyway, They made it short and sweet with him, but everybody else attacked him. It was all propaganda of the United States, and Biden's going to do a speech around noon today. Joe, with that said, go ahead and give him the rundown real quick of Dmitry Duderman and Henry Gruber's prophecy. Pardon me?
Not specifically by Dmitry, because Dmitry said many things, and a lot, most of it did not. Some of it, a little bit of it did, kind of came true, but most of it did not. And what is behind Stu and his interest about Dmitry is this thing concerning Russia and invading. See, people get caught up with the propaganda that Russia is the bad guy. Russia is the bad guy. But its origin lies within the Zionists.
Yep. Now, one thing I want to bring back to the president of Russia, Putin, I salute him in the fact that he did one thing that I'm aware of that was good. First thing he did is he allowed the churches to open up again in Russia, and everybody could have Bibles, and they could talk to God and Jesus and so forth out in public. Otherwise, you got hung for having a Bible before Mr. Putin. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, what Stu is trying to, what is, he wanted to get clarification really in his own head concerning Ukraine, because he's relating it back to Dmitry. And it's the same process. It's the same people behind it. It is the Zionists who are pushing this war with Russia. It is not the Russians that are doing anything. Because you have to remember, Ukraine, culturally speaking, has always belonged to Russia. Keep that in mind. The Ukraine always belonged to the Russian culture. But what happened is, the Zionists, under people like Nuland and her crew, and what we call the neoconservatives, who are really Trotskyites, again, are back at it again, doing the same thing that they've always done, both a war so that they can have a gain. And one of the things is that they want, that the Zionists want to use the Ukraine as a get back. In other words, if something happens to Israel, they want to have a place that the Jews can go to. Another place
that's where most of them came from, folks, was the Ukraine that are in Israel today.
Let's don't go down that, because that goes all the way into the Khazars.
Yep. Exactly. And a fallen angel bloodline in there too, folks. A lot of it.
So what we have here is they have another get back place that they go to, and that is the Patagonians, Uruguay and Paraguay. There's a large Jewish population there.
And a huge aquifer, the cleanest aquifer on the planet. And Daddy Bush took his boring machine, Air Force boring machine, and cut him a hole down there. Before his death, if he was really dead. Go ahead.
The point being here is, it's the same group of people. Nuland, who is the new face for the neoconservatives, who are people like Bolton and others that were behind Ronald Reagan, behind George Bush, and all that crowd. And it is for the enhancement of the world banker, is what it really comes down to.
That's right.
And it is the Rothschilds who are the instigators of this, because this is a part of the program of what we call, and keep this in mind as this thing gets pushed by Nuland and the neoconservatives to have a war. Keep poking the bear, because what they do is that they put all of these missiles along the border of Russia to provoke. Look what we did when the Russians put missiles in Cuba. It almost brought about a war. Well, Nuland and the crew, through our chief of staffs, who are really Zionists, well, they are the ones that are poking the bear. And the bear is Russia. And what they want to do is they want to create this war.
Yep, yep. You know, it's almost like the dispensationalism that's in the Bible. I mean, it's been changed so many times, it's pathetic. But, you know, I look at it and I ask God. I did it several times, pray about it beforehand. And things wouldn't even stick in my mind. It was certain things that were in there that was like the Holy Spirit taking me there. And it's very wise for people to do that. Now, Joe, before Jim Fetzer, we're supposed to bring him on in a minute, but I want you to make any last comment to this, and we're going to stop the recording for a minute and get him on the line.
Let me interrupt you again here.
Yes, go ahead.
What is going on with Ukraine went on, is the very same thing that went on to the election. The election, folks, was stolen. It was done through computers. It's not new. And Arizona was one of those that tried to get to bring it forth. It was the computers manipulating cyberspace. Why? Because Israel owns cyberspace.
You got that right.
That could be another, hold on, Stu. That could be another issue that we could talk about, which is Bill Hamilton's, what's the
Inslaw.
Name of the program?
Inslaw Software.
Yeah.
Just punch in INSLAW.com search box and punch in Inslaw, INSLAW, and it'll come up Bill Hamilton's story. I know him. Go ahead, Joe.
Now, if you want to see how hollow things are and how people get manipulated, Arizona is a case in point. When Biden came to Phoenix to have a rally for the Democratic Party, guess how many people showed up?
Amen.
Nobody. How does a guy have a rally where nobody shows up and wins an election in Arizona? How does that happen?
Well, you know that it was all fraudulent. I mean, we've talked about it before, but it just...
We don't want to go down that
yeah,
far.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
The point being here is, if that is the same thing that is going on with Ukraine, you have these Zionists who are pushing a war with Russia because they have a political and social gain that they want to do.
Yep, there you go. You hit it. Okay, now let's bring Mr. Fetcher on. I'm going to stop the recording real quick, Joe. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back, and we have Professor Joe and Professor Jim Fetcher on. Now, Jim, what's the latest?
Well, Stu, it looks like there's an attack going on the eastern part of Ukraine. The question becomes Russia's false flag or ours. Explosions ripped through a contested city in Ukraine. Something seems to be glowing about this situation. Funny how Putin makes a gesture to de-escalate and then Ukrainians attack. Hello, CIA. We have images of a gas pipeline on fire in the breakaway region of the Luhansk. Ukraine being reported on multiple sources. We have massive explosions ripping through the Russian separatist city of Luhansk in eastern Ukraine hours after a car bomb and mass evacuation of 700,000 civilians. Putin literally said that Russia would not attack unless thus and such happened, and so the CIA made sure that thus and such happened. In other words, they're attempting to provoke this war with Ukraine. We knew there were Blackwater forces already there, and they appear to be now taking aggressive action to precipitate precisely that outcome. In Ottawa, we have police smashing truck windows, pushing back protesters on the second day of the massive Ottawa events. This is very, very bad. A heavy police presence remains in downtown Ottawa day after law enforcement escalated operations against protesters opposed to the COVID mandates in order to clear the area around Canada's Parliament building. They've cleared many trucks and vehicles from the protest site. They're forcing the towers to do it or they're going to take away their licenses, punish them. We have trucks going out, smashing windows. Dictator Trudeau's goon squad used horses to trample people. One woman who is in a motorized cart because she's not able to get around appears to have been trampled and may have died. Very significant how the Canadian protests continue and they clubbed a news reporter purposefully in the head with a baton, shot her point blank in the leg with a gas canister. This just happens to be a woman who had been very critical of Justin Trudeau. Meanwhile, we have what may be even more important. We got reports claiming that the protesters are spraying the police, but we have photographic evidence it's the police who is spraying the protesters. And most significantly of all, our police are standing down. United Nations police officers in Ottawa. There appears to be a lot of evidence that they're using the UN there in Ottawa, which would not come as a surprise to, because Canadians are going to be reluctant to fire on Canadians, and that's what we got going on here. Very, very troubling bringing UN. This is analogous to bringing all these migrants into the United States so that they can get Americans, patriotic Americans, out of the military because they won't take the vaccine and replace them with the migrants who are then going to be promised citizenship and be willing to fire on the American people. Props from both you and before we turn to Sandy Hook.
Now, real quick, Trudeau, I just want to mention, is the son of Fidel Castro of Cuba, folks. He's a communist. Now, look at what's up there. Everybody's got to be vaccinated. Hey, fuck you. Excuse me in my language, but go ahead, Jim.
Well, no, I want to get Joel, too, on this. Just a comment, you know, it was his thoughts.
What you have done is to, we were talking earlier about the correct interpretation of events, and you have precisely done it very well, and that is exactly what they're going to do. They've been practicing for a long time. Everybody forgets that down in Hurricane Katrina, Mexican troops came in to New Orleans. Mexican troops. So there they were practicing, bringing in foreign troops to do the dirty work of what we call the Zionists.
Yes. Yes.
And let's continue on down. This is the same thing. This is, as I said earlier in this talk, all this is Newland and what I call the neoconservatives, who are nothing but dirty rat Trotskyites, are provoking the bear. And they have all kinds of ways of doing it, and Jim has outlined some of the things that they are provoking the bear with actual fires. So there we go. So maybe there will be the war with Russia. How much is Russia going to stand and let this go? In other words, the dirty rat Blackwater are using their little troopers to go in and push. How far are they going to go in and blowing up and sabotaging the Russian and the Ukrainians? How far are they going to go? Until has to do something, and then, oh, look at what has happened. The Russians, the bad guy, Russians are attacking us. And that's where it's going to go.
Now, let me tell you something, a little war story. And, Jim, you're probably unfamiliar with this, but it was a Blackwater helicopter shooting me at a house that I was remodeling down the street from Super Spook Otis Johnson. He got it for me. So I was up there for 5 months and made 50 grand. But here was the point. The guy bought all the material, charging by the hour, and did it myself, most of it. Hired a kid to help me here and there. But here was the point. Blackwater helicopter's coming over and dipping down over my house. Neighbors are seeing it, knocking on my door and telling me, what the hell was that? I said, I don't know. But I could hear it. And then it was knocking me to my ground and knocking me down on the ground there, poking with a beam. Well, after about 5 days of this shit, I was, you know, Otis was getting hit too, because he was complaining, and you know, I was doing my normal thing like I do now, radio shows, all the whole bit, but I was calling someone else. It was a foreign, actually it was France, folks, France, our ally, the Lafayette-Washington Agreement, and the whole bit, you just study it. We haven't got time for it. The deal was they protect us, we protect them. So they fly over our airspace, they refuel at our air bases, and they were going on their way, two jets, were going to Omaha to refuel. At just shortly after I made this fifth call, and she got tired of hearing me complain, French intelligence officer. So she had ordered to fly over there and check it out. and they identified it as a Blackwater helicopter. And it was dropping in the hole over there east of Hastings as a secret underground base hole. The traffic over there is a traffic jam out in the middle of farm field about 20, 30 miles east of Hastings. Anyway, that's for your little scuff you pulled on me. Here's the deal. So the helicopter gets blown out of the air. Super Spook down the street calls me and says, "Get your fucking ass down here now." And I'm running down there, you know, driving down. And, "What's going on, Chief?" He goes, "What the hell did you do?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "You blew up a fucking helicopter." I said, "What? I didn't blow up any fucking helicopter. What are you talking about?" He said, "They just popped it on the news that they had a witness. Witnesses said a helicopter blew up over the skies. And there's parts all over the highway out there and the farm area." And so anyway, breaking news, Webb be here back here at 5 o'clock. Well, he tells me about it. He says, "What kind of muscle and juice have you got?" And I said, "All I did was call, you know, so-and-so up at French intelligence." Find out later, she popped it out of the air, had it popped out of the air because it was enemy on U.S. soil, and they're to protect us. I find it in the link that he gave to me that I could hunt and see what was posted by the government itself that wasn't on the FBI file. So I looked at it, and it said something happened to the helicopter by itself. That's the end of my war story with Blackwater. But go ahead and pick it up from there, either one.
Well, that's a great war story, Stu. I got one for you. Are you outraged by the Sandy Hook Remington settlement for $73 million? Gun owners perceive the threat of future cases being used to undermine a right to keep and bear arms. I was calling it out before the decision was reached as insurance fraud and a massive scam. The parties never addressed the most basic fact in this case. Did anyone die at Sandy Hook? When I sought to intervene in this very case to make sure this was an honest proceeding, I was rebuffed by both sides. I can do something about it, but I need your help. When I published Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, it was a FEMA drill to promote gun control in 2015 with 13 contributors, including 6 PhD professors. Amazon.com banned the book less than a month after it had gone on sale, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies. I released it for free as a PDF. Mike Adams wrote about it, "The most dangerous mind in America on false flags and extreme censorship." That was only the beginning. Now Amazon has banned 5 more of my books, where I bring together experts on different aspects of these events to sort out what really happened. In 2018, I was sued for defamation in Madison, Wisconsin, over an uncertified death certificate given to co-author Kelly Watt by a purported Sandy Hook parent, Leonard Posner. The suit was brought by the same party who shared it with Kelly Watt. The court would not allow me to present my proof that nobody had died on the absurd ground that it had nothing to do with the truth or accuracy of the death certificate, which alleged the deceased, Noah Posner, died on 14 December 2012 of multiple gunshot wounds. Focusing solely on the death certificate, I introduced reports from 2 forensic document examiners, both of whom concluded that it was fake, but the court simply set them aside as someone else's opinion. Ignoring my status as a journalist, the court ignored the disputed fact of the authenticity of the document and found me guilty of defamation, even though there was no finding of negligence. So I was guilty of defamation without fault. The trial for damages was captured perfectly by Kevin Barrett. The legal lynching of a truth seeker, Jim Fetzer's Stalinist-style show trial. When I appealed the abuse of summary judgment, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, District 4, made what Ron Avery characterized as gross errors. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has denied my petition for review without a word of explanation the same day Remington settled for $73 million without establishing that anybody died at Sandy Hook. The fake shooting is being used to undermine our right to keep and bear arms as it was planned to do. As a former Marine Corps officer, I am profoundly obligated to carry this case to the U.S. Supreme Court because 1.1 million in liens as a result of a slap suit, a strategic lawsuit against public participation to punish those who speak out and expose fraud and corruption by the government. I'm doing what I can to protect your rights, but now I need your help. If the decision in this absurd case, Bosner versus Spencer, is allowed to stand, it will set a precedent that threatens the legal right of every U.S. citizen to defend himself in a court of law. Because the state Sandy Hook event is being used to grab our guns, the outcome is critical for both the First and the Second Amendment. I have law and evidence on my side, but need your support to move forward. This case can make a difference. Check out givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer. I need your help.
Now, Jim, people need to donate to you, and I guarantee you, folks, and I'll explain why. And I need a few bucks myself. And here's why. Now, Jim, I had a tail. I'd been monitoring them. I've been taking their, I got the evidence, a video on them, videotaping them, taking through parking lots. I mean, when you got them coming around behind buildings and stuff like that. And same ones have been following you down the road. Okay? And so I started videotaping all these clowns. Well, I videotaped this one. I videotaped her in a place called Green Valley, Missouri, which is about 15 miles east of Blue Springs. So she tries following me after going around behind a building because I want to pick up her two comrades and grab the numbers from behind and see if they show up later. And the whole bit, well, she follows me. She gets all pissed off because I see her going around behind the building while I'm sitting there pulled in where I didn't think they saw me. And I saw her, and I've seen this blue Volkswagen before, and I'm saying, Jetta. Well, anyway, I pull her around the other side, or start down the street, and I see her parked alongside the building. She starts moving towards my direction. Go follow me. So I said, well, no, I'm going to take my camera and go up and confront her. And now it's up on my website, folks. You can, at the very bottom of the breaking news column, you can see this. So, anyway, I trapped her to light. Because she was on top of me immediately. Trapped her to light there at Green Valley. And so I made a quick left going through a light changing red. So she got stuck. Anyway, I haul balls. I go up the road. I'm at least a mile and a half ahead of her. And I can see her trapped in behind a pickup truck. And there was traffic coming the other way at us. So it was hard for her to go around. And I hit Blue Springs. Well, you know, I'm driving a speed limit and all this stuff. I'm at a light, and all of a sudden, lights started to change, and I look in my rearview mirror, and she's right on my butt. Well, the turning lane was two lanes to the left, so I waited until the far left. I was in the far right turning left, but I waited until, because she was right on my ass, and waited until the traffic cleared. So I moved over the other lane. She moves over. I'm going real slow. She's going real slow behind me. I move over again to the right. She moves over with me. I move over to the left, and she runs into me. So I get out of my car. And I go back there, and I look, I said, you ran into me. I said, get out of your car, you're under citizen's arrest, because she had been stalking me, and she runs into me. And she backs up and starts to leave. So I got in my car, and I pulled in the first right parking lot, back at Verizon. I pull all the way to the back parking lot, did a U-turn, and turned around, and she's trying to block the entry where I had just came from. So I put my chip in my phone, and I dialed the police, 911. And I got a recording of her on videotape. I started recording before I put my chip in the phone, and I shown her blocking that deal, and I set the camera down on my lap. You can see it laying on my jeans near my knee, and I'm putting the chip in the phone. And then as soon as I get the chip in and dial 911, I put the camera back up while I'm talking to the police. Now, there's audio from the police department, and there's an audio of her from the police department. And you can listen to those. They're in that link with her picture giving me the finger on the front of stewweb.com. That was when I videotaped her and said, I'm tired of you tailing me. Well, she didn't like me taking her picture. So I turn around and I go down to Green Valley there as I left her. Okay? But she's right on top of me. You can see her and listen to the audio. Oh, he just got out of his car. He's got a gun. While I'm sitting there videotaping her and while I'm talking to the police. If you play the audio and listen to it, because she says, oh, he's getting ready to leave because you can see me leaving.
Here's the point. I hate to interrupt you, but you have any idea what you've just done? You feel I gave a very strong pitch for money to support.
I'm helping you out. Now, let me finish, Jim. Jim, let me finish. Folks, I had to plead to, if you can believe this, I appealed it, because I wasn't allowed to play the audio of her saying, he's got a gun, he's got a gun. I didn't have a gun. I got arrested for harassment and careless driving. They had me set up to where I had to see a shrink. They were going to put me in a fucking madhouse if I didn't plead guilty because I had appealed the decision and they had a hearing without. You talk about unlegal shit. Now, Jim, you're in the same boat. Here's the point, Jim. This is how bad it is, folks. It's like Nazi Germany out here with the courts. And Jim has gotten super fucked in this deal, and he needs help. I had to plead guilty to something I wasn't guilty of to keep from going to another house for representing myself in a court of law. Oh, my God. Now, Jim, you got an attorney, and you need this attorney to represent you and take care of your problem. Where can people send you money?
The attorneys aren't taking care of my problem because the courts are corrupt. I got to get this into the Supreme Court, not because I think they're going to do the right thing, but because every case that goes to the Supreme Court is studied by law schools all over the country. I want to get this out so every law school in the country will study it, but I need your help.
How much money do you need, Jim?
Go to givesendgo.com/fundingfencer if you care at all about the First and the Second Amendment. Here's the deal, Stu, what they're trying to do. That this Cimarus financial company has bought up these gun companies, and they're using the insurance to settle the case irrespective of the merits. They don't care nobody died at Sandy Hook. They want to set a precedent so to create a liability for every gun owner so they have to buy insurance. In order to buy insurance, they have to register their guns. Then the government knows where every gun is because it had to be registered. This is an elaborate scam that has to be defeated. That's what's going on. Joe, your thoughts before I have to depart.
That is exactly right, because to tell you how big this is getting, the lawyers are lining up Mexico with the United States government to sue gun manufacturers.
Now let me add something to it. Let me add something to it. Remington Arms is out here called Lake City Arsenal, and the Marine Corps, when I was in the reserves, we practiced out there one weekend each year. Here's the point. The CIA headquarters for Kansas City is armed inside there. Now, it's a U.S. government contractor. It's got cops everywhere, okay? But here's the point. They're a contractor for the government, and they just settled bullshit to keep from this to be told. Let me tell you something. I am behind Jim in the fact it was a staged event. It was a practice, and they got friggin' caught. Go ahead, Jim. You're the one that caught him.
Well, I wanted to hear what Joel had to say, Stu. You got great stories, my friend, but I want to hear what Joel has to say about this.
That is it, right? That's enough right there, because what they're using Jim as is a springboard to go into higher and wider and more powerful suits to bring down the Second Amendment. We lose the Second Amendment, we lose free speech.
I lost mine, folks. Now, Jim, I don't want you to see you lose yours. I want you to see you win. So, folks.
Stu, I thank you for your support, and I'm always glad to be able to join you and Joe on these presentations. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
GiveSendGo.com, funding fencer. If you can spare a few bucks, it might make a difference. I'm in a unique position to do something about this.
Do you have a physical address they can send mail to you?
I'm sorry?
Do you have an address they could?
Sure, yes. You could also send something to James H. Fetzer, Legal Defense Fund, 800 Violet Lane, 800 Violet Lane, Oregon, Wisconsin, WI 53575. If you just make it out to Jim Fetzer or James Fetzer, you don't have to write it all out. I'll get it into the Legal Defense Fund, and I appreciate your support. 800 Violet Lane, Oregon, Wisconsin, 5-3-5-7-5. Thanks to you both and to everyone who's willing to stand up for the Second and the First Amendment.
Thank you, Jim. Joe, I want to thank you. Joe, do you have any last comments?
No.
All right.
Because it's a big one.
It's a big one. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.